Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey there, this is Brittany Luce from NPR's It's Been a Minute. KQED's podcasts like The Bay, Bay Curious, Mind Shift, Right Nowish, and more all tell the stories of the Bay and beyond with reliable, human-centered journalism. They aim to inspire, make you think, entertain, and expand your understanding of the place you call home. Here's how you can support podcasting at KQED.
Showing your support is easy, and you can join Brittany in supporting KQED Podcasts too at donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Alexis Madrigal. Even as COVID killed hundreds of thousands of people, another of humanity's familiar foes, influenza, was absolutely flatlined by the social distancing measures that have been in effect around the country. Confirmed flu cases fell 99%. 99%! We basically did not have flu season. Now that life is normalizing in the post-vaccination world, what's that mean for the flu? Will we see a resurgence? We'll talk with an infectious disease doc. But first, KQED's Dan Brecke tells us about the disastrous situation that some Bay Area drivers have found themselves in as a result of fines for unpaid bridge tolls. That's coming up next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Bridge tolls provide some of the revenue that keeps our infrastructure working. In an effort to get people to pay their tolls, the transit authorities have instituted pretty severe penalties for not forking over money when crossing the Bay Area's bridges. While this has been framed as a way of making sure everyone pays their fair share, a new investigation from the urban research outfit Spur makes clear that the burdens of these fines fall on lower-income neighborhoods with larger numbers of immigrants, non-English speakers, and people of color. And as it turns out, you can fine people who don't have money all you want, and they still won't have the money to pay you. So the penalty scheme only generates 3% of toll revenue, even as it crushes people who are already in tough financial straits. Here to fill us in on the new report and some changes coming to the system, we're joined by KQED's Dan Brecke, who has a big story up on this topic on KQED.org. Welcome back to the show, Dan.
Good morning, Alexis.
So tell me about sort of the basic problem here that drivers as well as toll authorities are dealing with.
Well, this is something that's evolved pretty dramatically over the last couple of years. Up until March 2020, AKA before the pandemic, there were toll takers at all the Bay Area bridges, the state-owned bridges. The Golden Gate Bridge, which is a separate district, of course, is an exception to that. And, people had the option of driving through with Fast Track or having their license plate captured on a Fast Track account and paying that way, or they could stop at the toll plaza and pay that way. And a lot of people did. The toll takers disappeared literally overnight. And then we went to this invoice system where everybody drove through. And there is kind of a spike in the number of so-called violations for not paying tolls. And one of the things that this exposed was that a lot of violation notices were not getting to people who, who at their registered license plate address. And so, I think the Bay Area Toll Authority which is the agency that manages this system and Fast Track, recognized that was a problem, and they suspended violation notices. Violation penalties rather last year. So normally, the way the system worked was if you went through and didn't pay a toll, you owed that $6, you'd get an invoice. If you didn't pay that in 2 weeks, you'd owe a $25 late fee. And if you didn't pay that within 60 days, there was another $45 on top of that. So your $6 toll went to $76.
That feels like kind of outrageously punitive.
It's interesting because if you think of it as a one-off, I drove through once, okay, $76. And if you're affluent, you know, and you have your, you know, everything in order in your financial life, $76. Well, okay. So you might bite your lip a little bit and pay it, but you know, there are examples of people who just in the course of a month would rack up hundreds of dollars in these fines. And, you know, I talked about one person in this article, Paul Briley, who's a guy who lives in Richmond. He's a former San Francisco resident. He goes back and forth. And he found out that from 98 toll crossings that were unpaid, he owed $6,500, which is, it's almost impossible to comprehend. And that's not, you know, the only person in that boat. In fact, we were alerted to this by somebody who wrote into Bay Curious, our podcast, who owed $10,000. Actually, when I talked to him, it turned out it was $15,000 for crossings on another bridge. And so, you know, yes, it's outrageously punitive, and it presents people who may not have an income stream with, you know, just a burden that is something that they simply can't bear. And so, you know, there a couple of things have happened. The Bay Area Toll Authority, which is sort of a co-equal agency of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, sort of recognized they had an issue here. And Spur separately was hearing about hearing complaints about this through a member of, you know, a Spur executive who was on the MTC.
This is Nick Josefowicz, right?
Yes, Nick Josefowicz, exactly right. And they began taking a look at this. And with a couple of other organizations, the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights of San Francisco was one. The East Bay Community Law Center is another. And these lawyers groups have clients who are trying to, you know, figure out how to address these unbelievable bills they've been presented with. And so Bay Area Toll Authority has actually come up with an equity action plan. Nick Josefowicz actually gives Therese McMillan, the general manager of the MTC, lots of credit for sort of pushing in this direction. And so they have taken the first step toward correcting this situation, where they've cut the fees from the maximum, or the fines, the penalties, from a maximum of $70 to $20. Now that's, you know, that's great. However, you have to notice here that your original toll is $6. And if your penalty is $20 on top of that, that's still more than three times what you originally owed. And if you have a bunch of these piled up, that is still that's still going to be a big bill that you're going to have to deal with. So further steps are called for.
What do we know from other toll agencies around the country about how they deal with these kinds of issues?
Well, the number one thing that Spur and other folks who deal with what's generally called the economic justice movement, the number one thing they point to as a remedy and as a way to approach this is to give people options. And the number one option is having payment plans. There is evidence both on the Bay Area bridges and across the country that if you give people a manageable way to pay, they will actually want to do that. They want to clear up their bill. You know, lower income people are no different from higher income people in this way. They want to just take care of what they owe. Now, that's sort of that's the next task on the table for Bay Area Toll Authority, is to figure out if they can put together a payment plan. I think they're pretty serious about doing that. But that's the main thing. And the other thing is to just not create penalties at a level that people simply can't pay them. So, for instance, a couple of the suggestions that are out there from Spur and its allied groups, you know, one is an amnesty for all the toll penalties that are owing right now. One is to further cut the penalty so it's no more than 50% of the toll that you owed. So in other words, $6.
You'd have a $3 penalty.
Exactly right. Things like that. And to cap penalties, the total penalties could be no more than $100. Now, these are all great ideas, and they will probably result in less pain if they're adopted. But things aren't going to move, lightning fast. We're not going to see this happen overnight.
Are there people who are opposed to these changes?
I don't think there are people who are opposed to them, but I think there's a sense of caution that comes across from the toll authority and the MTC about exactly how to do this. So, for instance, you mentioned at the top that 3% of toll revenue comes from these fines and fees. That doesn't sound like a lot, but 3% of hundreds of millions of dollars is actually a substantial sum. So they want to make sure that there are no unintended financial consequences. They also want to know, okay, so how do we administer a program like this? Is it means tested? In other words, do we ask people to apply for it and prove their income? Now, there are precedents for this. The fast track system manages the new toll lanes we have in the Bay Area. And there is going to be a pilot program for the START program, which is a program for lower tolls and transit fares for lower income Bay Area residents. So that would be extending something like that into the bridge toll system would seem to be something that could be done or at least studied. I don't see, clear opposition to this, although in the past, there has been a problem. It used to be one of the ways that the toll bridges were bleeding money was people would leave those paper dealer plates on their cars and they just drive through. And then, there's a camera capturing your license plate as you drive through the toll plaza. Well, it's your license plate says Lithia Ford, wherever that is. And it's all over the West, by the way. And so the MTC says they were losing $13 million a year that way. So there was a move a few years ago to try to crack down on this. The state moved by creating a law that all new cars have to have an identifiable registration mm-hmm. number or a temporary license plate number. And on the other hand, the toll authority was talking about, well, we should get really tough. We should talk about seizing people's cars. I think they've really moved away from that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they are concerned because, this money actually does go to
notions of fairness at play here too.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, some folks, I talked to John Goodwin, who's one of the spokespeople for the MTC. And that's exactly what he said, was that this is, paying your toll is like paying other public dues. It's a community effort to show we're all in this together. And some people just want to beat the system. Yeah. But I think there's an agreement that those people are, not a significant portion of the population. And you really
and
have
designing
to
a system around them may
exactly
the one we have now. We're talking about reforms to the harsh, unpaid bridge toll penalties that are piling debt on low-income people with KQED's Dan Brecky. We'd love to hear from you. Have you been surprised by high bridge toll fines or found yourself in a difficult situation trying to pay them off? Call now, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can get touch on Twitter and Facebook, of course. We're at KQED Forum, or you can email your questions or your comments about this to forum@kqed.org. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for more Forum after the break.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We're talking about reforms to the harsh unpaid bridge toll penalties that are piling debt on low-income people with KQED's Dan Borecki. We've got some comments rolling in. Dan, I wanted to throw this one from Susan at you. When the toll takers were there, these people likely paid their toll every time. Why then were they able to do that at one time, but when the toll takers disappeared, they decided to simply not pay any toll?
You know, I suppose there's a large element of human nature there. I mean, there's no choice to stop and pay right there. And, you know, they're not seeing a bill right away, right? The way to pay has become, you know, you pay by mail, essentially. That's the way it was set up last year at the beginning of the pandemic. And so, okay, so you have to get these notices. And initially what was happening was that the toll authority, well, let's just call it Fast Track. Fast Track was sending an invoice for every individual crossing. So you would go across, say, 20 times a month. That's 20 pieces of mail. So you would have to figure out how to pay all those. And as I mentioned before, there's evidence that lots of the mail wasn't getting to the people who were crossing the bridge. So if somebody had moved and not changed their vehicle registration address, well, they wouldn't get the mail. If the mail was undeliverable for some other reason, they wouldn't see the notices. Or sometimes people would move and change their address on their driver's license and think that took care of the license plate registration, the vehicle registration rather, as well, but it doesn't. And so there are lots of ways for people to stay in the dark. And so I think that's the main thing. You know, it's one thing. I'm trying to think of some other transaction we do every day, you know, where it's easy if you're just, you know, like getting on BART. Okay. If you have a Clipper card, you just, you know, tap and you walk through and it's connected to a bank account and you don't think about it. If everybody was just sort of allowed to walk through and pay a bill afterwards, I think you would find something similar where lots of, you know, the bills just don't get to a lot of people. And a lot of people all of a sudden will see a bill, let's say for $120 for 20 toll crossings. And they go, well, am I going to buy groceries this week or am I going to pay this toll bill?
Let's bring in Michael from Oakland into the conversation. Welcome.
Hi. You partially addressed my question, but I had a problem a few years ago where I was, charged by a red light camera in the peninsula. I live in Oakland, so I don't spend much time in the peninsula. And I didn't find out about this because, like what your guest said, when I moved, I changed my address for my driver's license, not realizing that even though it's the same organization, the DMV, they did not change it for the registration because where I come from in Ohio, they take care of those things together. And so I only found out about this like a couple years later from my insurance company because apparently there were points on my record. So I have a couple questions. Number one, do people get points on their record when they don't pay these tolls? That's one question. Another is, isn't the DMV negligent by not even asking about when you change your address?
Yeah, it kind of feels like that should go hand in hand, right? Yeah, that's a great point, Michael. Yeah.
Negligent to me. And also, I didn't even know. I mean, I remember back to when I was in the peninsula for this incident. And I even remember, you know, being at that intersection. I doubt that I even missed stopping there. And when I Googled into it, I found out that a lot of people were erroneously getting charged by this camera too. But you can't even have recourse if you're not notified in time. And you're penalized for not responding in time, even though you're not notified from someone else's fault.
Michael, thanks so much for that call. Dan Borecki, I wanted to ask you about, you know, how common do we think these address issues are? I mean, I feel like now I want to like log into my DMV account and check to make sure that my car is registered at the right place.
Well, you know, it's a little hard to say, and that's not a satisfactory answer, but here's one of the reasons why. It turns out that the data collection for these toll violations has not been very robust. So There is a record of license plates that have gone through, but they're not associated with people, which, you know, is a two-edged sword. I mean, in some ways, that's good for privacy. But if you want to do a demographic study who's being affected by this, it's not a good thing. So there's some kind of surveying called for there. But, you know, the one of the shocking statistics that the MTC sent my way was that just this year, between January 1st and August 31st, there were, you know, millions of toll violations generated, you know, more than 4 million. And there are 600,000 vehicles out there that faced referral to the DMV. So I just wanted to get back to that point from Michael. This is one way people find out here is that if you don't pay your late fee and penalty for these tolls, the next step is to for Fast Track to send that issue to either the DMV to block your next vehicle registration, or they'll send it to collection, or both. And so a lot of times people are skating through thinking they've got no problem. And then all of a sudden, when they try to register their vehicle, they say, no, you can't register because you've got this fine that you didn't pay. So it's a little similar to what Michael is talking about there. In terms of DMV issues in general, I mean, there's another show for you,
Alexis. Yeah, there's another show. Yeah, let's get to Ulysses in El Cerrito.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we sure can.
Yeah, so I work in the city, and I take Richmond-Santa Fe Bridge to the Golden Gate Monday through Friday. And
I'm so sorry, Ulysses.
yeah. I know. And I have my Fast Track attached to my vehicle, and I drive across every day, and I still get 2 to 3 toll evasions every month in the mail saying that I evaded the toll, even though it's the exact same commute with my Fast Track attached in the same spot. And it's just getting super frustrating to get these toll evasions, even though I'm not evading the toll. I'm doing what I should be doing.
Because then you have to go back and say to them, right? I mean, this happened to us just recently, too, in our family.
It takes time and effort. I got to call and talk to them and try to deal with it, and it keeps this ongoing issue, and I'm wondering why that's happening.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm just curious what Fast Track tells you when you contact them.
Most of the time, they're you know, they've been fairly nice, and they'll just charge me the fees, and or they'll take the fees down, but it's just ongoing. It happens every single month.
Yeah, I can't account for that.
I don't know if there's a way around it or a way to get over it, but you know, I've even moved my Fast Track up on the window so that it wouldn't do that, and it still beeps, but every time I still keep getting these toll evasion notices.
Right, and in theory, you shouldn't get a toll evasion notice even if it doesn't beep, because that you're going through and your license plate is being recorded,
right,
and will be associated with that Fast Track account. So there should be no problem, right? And it should come right out of your bank account. And that's the only thing I can think of. Are there some days when you know, the bank account hasn't been, or credit card or whatever it is, hasn't refunded your account so that there's a balance there that they can draw from? But that's speculation on my part, and I'm sure you've thought about that already.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks, Ulysses, for that call. Really, really appreciate it. I wanted to get to a comment from listener Amy, and this is a good one for you, Dan. Amy writes, what exactly are the bridge tolls used for? In San Diego, they quit collecting tolls on the Coronado Bridge once it was paid for. Why are the tolls needed? And I just want to combine one other comment there. Zane writes, I've lived in the Bay Area for 18 years now. I can remember at least 2 toll price rises on the Bay Bridge. MTC promised the toll increase was temporary to pay for the construction of the new Bay Bridge. To my knowledge, the toll cost has never returned to what it was prior to the increases. Who can we hold accountable for this? The cost is getting ridiculous. So we got 2 kind of questions. One about, you know, are the tolls ever going to come back down as was promised? And the other is, what are these tolls even used for?
Well, you can thank your fellow voters for a lot of the toll increases. You know, look, we just had the birthday for the Bay Bridge, November 12th. You know, it opened in 1936. And so happy 85th birthday. You know, they started collecting tolls. You used to pay tolls going both ways, by the way. You'd have to stop on your eastbound trip at that toll plaza. That ended in 1969. you know, there is a way in which people expect that once the bridge is paid off or bridges are paid off, it's done. Here's a wrinkle in that, though. Those bridges need constant maintenance, right? So you have to, you know, that income is used for that as well. And for instance, there's, you know, an amazing amount of retrofitting going on the Golden Gate Bridge, which is, as I said before, is not state-owned. It's a separate district. So that's what they're using their, mm-hmm. their tolls for. But what's happened over the last 30 years plus is that there have been a series of ballot measures that sort of put the proposal before the voters to take some toll money and spend it on other transportation projects. And there have been three of these things, regional measures 1, 2, and 3, and each has created a higher level of tolls. And, you know, there have been a package of projects that go along with, or, you know, agencies that would get money that go along with each of these measures. And they've won by substantial margins. They have to, this is actually being debated in the state Supreme Court right now, but all they have needed is a simple majority to win, and they've gotten that. So, you know, bridge tolls are going to go up. In terms of, you know, going back on a promise to lower the tolls, I would have to refresh my memory about the whole history of that. I can guarantee you, though, I think, that they're not going to go down. The one thing that would change that is if Regional Measure 3, which passed in 2018, is overturned, then you might see tolls revert to where they were before. That would be somewhat disastrous, though, because that funding stream is supposed to pay for lots of projects that people want to see, doing some substantial work on Highway 37 in Marin County. There are some other highway projects, but a lot of that money, most of it, I believe, is going into transit, which is going to, at least in theory, ease our congestion problems. So you need to root. I'm making an editorial comment. You need to root for the Supreme Court to uphold that and for that money to go to the projects that the voters want to see.
Mm-hmm. One last quick suggestion for our listeners from Will in San Francisco.
Hello. I was going to say that you can register license plates of your vehicles with your Fast Track account. I have never had a missed toll violation notice since I've done that. So I know transponders don't always work, but once you register a license plate, you don't have to worry about it.
Yep, that's what we just did in our house, too. Yeah. Thanks, Will, for that suggestion. And thank you, KQED's Dan Brecky. We've been talking about reforms to the unpaid bridge toll penalties, which have been piling debt on low-income people. If you want to check out his story, it's on KQED.org. Thanks again, Dan.
You're welcome, Alexis.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.